Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. We are on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, all that good stuff. Yes. What's going on? Good morning. Good morning.
Cold, a little bit cold, but you know.
Cold.
A little bit, not.
Just like Matt Safford?
That was cold. Cool. It was all right. I mean, it's been all right. Last night was a little cool.
Yesterday was the first day where you had to break out the winter coats.
Like, it's actually cold. It's so funny you said that because I got so many coats that my kids and family left behind when they went back. And so I broke out one of the little bubble jackets last night when I walked down the street. I was like, oh, yeah, this here is nice. But then I didn't have the hoodie on, so my ears was froze.
Got to get the hat game right.
I'll be straight. But I don't plan on being outside here for a minute. So
you know what they say in L.A.? When I moved out to L.A., people were like, pack through Thanksgiving. Like, you don't need anything past what you would have on Thanksgiving in New York. That's as cold as it's ever going to get in L.A. And it drops after dark sometimes in the winter.
Yeah, if you're close to the beach, it's going to get you. You might get hit with a 55.
Yeah.
A 60. But, you know.
Up in the hills, you dip below 50.
You might get a 50.
Out here, though, you don't get the Tims ready. You don't get the boots ready. You don't get the Scully ready. The full-length body jacket.
But 50, you can get you a light cashmere, keep it moving.
Yeah. It's good living. Yeah. All right.
That's why OBJ decided to go to L.A. Good living. Get away from Cleveland.
So I said Matthew Stafford was cold.
By the way, even if you, like, I had L4-5-S1 herniated discs, right? So to this day, I got to stretch, like, to get out of bed and stuff. In the cold weather, everything is tight. Yeah, warm weather is just good for it. Mm-hmm. And OBJ, there's no way you can tell me. It's just a pure, no Toradol for me.
No Toradol.
No, I don't need those complications later. But there's no way you can tell me part of his decision to go to. Like, was it just purely football? Or did he look around and say, okay, these are similar. Why wouldn't I go to L.A.?
Well, we already talked about it. He likes L.A. He trains on the West Coast. Who doesn't want to be in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
The greatest quarterback in the history of the game used to have a home in L.A., and that's Tom Brady. He built a huge mega mansion in L.A. He was like, I got to be in L.A.
But I wonder if Odell was thinking about the run defense ahead of time to still make the same decision. That run defense been bad a couple days in a row. But Odell, look, Matthew Stafford, you brought it up, Jay, was cold. He made his debut for the Rams, Odell. He was targeted 3 times, 2 catches for 18 yards. I think I made a joke about that. And as a matter of fact,
Devontae Adams.
Yeah. He just doubled. He had 1 catch for however many yards.
6 yards. And he's like, yeah, 2 catches for 12.
That's better than what you got. So 3 targets, 2 catches, 18 yards. Here's Odell on his Rams debut.
I was excited. I was, felt like I was ready for the moment. I feel like I've been through so much and God has put me in this position for that exact moment, and it just wasn't our night. Like, there's really no way around it. It just wasn't our night. All 3 phases of the game, they ran the ball well. They stopped us while we were on offense, and they just beat us.
Yeah, 3 targets, 2 catches for 18 yards is probably
a
realistic prediction, but I was expecting something to pop a little bit.
Yeah, but when you get out of sink and you getting destroyed, you get away from whatever game plan you went in there with. Whatever they decided to do with OBJ, they kind of went away from it, and decided to do something else because you're getting beat pretty bad. So you got to get away from certain things, and he doesn't know the offense. He only played a handful of snaps. It wasn't like he was in there all the time. And so because he wasn't there all the time, they had to force feed Cooper Kupp, who wound up getting, I think, 12 catches for like $150. So, they forced the ball to him because he knows the system. Van Jefferson knows the system. OBJ is a guy who has to wait for Matthew Stafford, who predominantly is running out of the gun, but because he needs to tell OBJ what to do, they can't even run their offense out of the gun. He's got to get underneath the center. I mean, all of those sort of things, when you played the game like I have, you kind of know. Like, oh, they're playing under the center now. Oh, I see why, because OBJ doesn't know what to do.
How long till that fixes itself?
This week.
This week.
Yeah, 1 week. One full week of game planning with him would be fine.
Well, you said 3 targets?
Yeah.
Well, that first failed target was probably the most memorable target, right? Because that was the one where I'm not sure if OBJ, you know, cut the route short or if he was improvising, but he stopped short and essentially Matthew Stafford threw a deep ball, which led to an interception. I don't worry about OBJ and Matthew Stafford getting on the same page eventually. I just have a lot more questions around the Rams and their defense and whether it's two games in a row now where Matthew Stafford has thrown two interceptions to start the game, and you're starting to see a little bit of that start to seep into the mind of people.
If you can't stop the run, then you can't afford to let that happen, because they'll do what San Francisco did, is you got a little lead early, start running the ball, time of possession, don't give them chances to catch up. That game was over in the first half.
Yeah, you know, the interception, the long interception was a broken play. Matthew Stafford scrambling around, I think it was on third down too. Mm-hmm. So you treat that like a punt. No. Basically, it's like, we're going to wind up punting anyway. I have nothing. Let's just see. Maybe we get a PI. Maybe something happens.
A lot of good possibilities. Only
yeah,
one
so
bad
let's
one.
Just yep. Let's see what happens there. Then when you look at that, the second interception was unfortunate. It was a screen. Higby bobbled it. Guy makes a great play, catches it, and runs back for a touchdown. Neither one of those interceptions, to me, was on Matthew Stafford. But you discount those.
On the Higby one, when he was running that, at cross route, right? Wasn't the ball thrown behind him a little bit?
There was a screen.
Oh, yeah,
was
let's a see little, the play. I mean, yeah,
a little
see,
screen.
See here, I think.
No, this is a deep pass.
The ball was thrown behind him because I remember he tried to bring it back to the front. I feel like last night there were a lot of balls that were thrown behind.
No, that's, you can't,
that one. Okay, that
you
one,
can't
yeah.
catch the ball with your chest, man.
There was a couple other. There were a lot of drop passes where the ball was thrown behind people. I see you on that one.
No, but I'm saying, Jay, you can't catch the ball with your chest, right?
I hear you.
You got it. That's why they tell you to stick your hands out there and keep your thumbs nice and tight together. It's almost like throwing the ball to me and you putting it as a point guard, you putting it on my kneecaps.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't where I want it, man. I need it where I can catch it.
But
and he's trying to body snatch it and it bounces off his arms and you never get an opportunity to get a second catch. So if he'd have caught it with, if he'd have caught, tried to catch with his hands, Jay, now he drops it, he could just flip like it's that. Gone. He gets a second chance.
So are you more concerned with Matthew Stafford, or are you more concerned about the run, the Rams'
defense.
Ability to stop the run? When you think about a team like the Cardinals and how much
defense.
They rush for
defense.
Per game, like that Rams' defense,
look,
very
here's
questionable.
The good.
All defense, 100%. Ever since Sean McVay came to the Rams, and Wade Phillips was the defensive coordinator, their run defense has always been dismal. They have not figured out how to stop the run. They just haven't. Even when Wade Phillips was great, and their defense is always rated high from a scoring standpoint and a yardage standpoint, because people don't throw the ball in the air nearly as much on them. They just, if you can run the ball, if you can go by ground, why try and go by air?
Let me tell you how bad it was. Here's the good news, first of all, with Odell. He got separation on that target, on the busted play, on when he was targeted. That was, I guess, the one incompletion to Odell, right? But he was wide open for a second. Like, Odell can get separation.
Yeah, he's fine.
That's the good. Here's the bad news, if you're a Rams fan. And I've had the Rams as the best team in football this year. I thought, you know what, they'll figure it out up front, whatever. If you are that bad against the run, what we've seen the last 2 weeks, if you get pushed around like that, you're not going to win the Super Bowl.
No.
Like, that's out.
Well, you got to think about the teams. Jay mentioned the Arizona Cardinals. That's one team that rushed for 200 yards on them at their home stadium. There's another team that wears a star that's playing pretty good football right now. Name is the Dallas Cowboys. They got two backs that's pretty good in Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. And then for some weird, odd reason, the Carolina Panthers decide to backdoor into the playoffs, sitting at the seventh seed at 5-5. You got a guy in Christian McCaffrey along with Cam Newton, who could probably run the football as well. And then Aaron Jones, when Green Bay decides to run the ball, they come to the party. And then you still got Leonard Fournette, and you still got Jones coming to the party as a second time around, even though you beat them the beginning of the season, the second time around, it's going to be harder.
Could you imagine Matthew Stafford's first playoff game with the Rams could easily wind up like this, and they get the Panthers and Cam and McCaffrey run it down their throats? And could you imagine? Mm. That would be a nightmare scenario for the Rams. All right, look. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. The Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Why one player might be the difference between between making the playoffs and missing them. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Love that too, man.
Mm-hmm. It just feels different, Max. You know, with some people, it just feels different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Like, listen, Cam Newton scored twice. First two times he touches the ball, runs it in, throws it in. Matt Rhule says Cam's going to get most of the first team practice reps this week.
So he's starting.
He's starting Sunday versus Washington. Here's
really?
Coach on what he saw, what he wants to see from Cam Newton.
I want everything that Cam brings. I don't want Cam light. You know, I want full Cam. You know, and as long as Cam is focused on football, which he is, so it's easy.
Full Cam, huh? So what's Cam light? What we saw with the Patriots not running enough? Like, what is Cam light?
No, Cam light is just. What they did against Arizona. Didn't give him all the snaps, obviously, because he was new. They just got him. Got to get him up to speed a little bit. Got to see where he's at from a physical standpoint. Now that you know, there won't be 6, 7, 8, 10 plays. It'll be all 58 plays on the offensive side of the ball. Because we're going to get him up to speed the way he needs to be. And you're going to see in this game, you're going to see some ill-advised timeouts. You're going to see a few delay of games. You're going to see that sort of stuff. But they can overcome that because his ability to energize everybody and get everybody going. And that's the one beauty about Cam Newton that you know and you recognize with a guy like that. He's played with everybody in that locker room for the most part. He's been gone 19 months away from them. That's not a long time, right? I mean, 19 months is not a long time to be away from a team. Just look at it this way. He was injured and rehabbing.
That's actually what happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm saying you just look at it. Let's just assume he was still on the team, but he was injured and rehabbing.
Yeah, he spent a year and a half in 1 year in New England and a half a year kicking around, and now he's back.
And everybody knows him. They all still go to the same hangout, eat the same places. He probably still parks his car in the same spot, the whole deal.
Evan, can we play the sound one more time? I just want to make sure I heard it correctly.
I want everything that Cam brings. I don't want Cam light. You know, I want full Cam, you know, and as long as Cam is focused on football, which he is, so it's easy.
So, Key, let's translate. I don't want Cam light. I want everything Cam is. So, I want ascots. I want fly gear. I want you taking selfies on the podium with Robbie Anderson. I want you having your parking spot with your name, Cam Newton. I want all the camps. As long as you win. You win, you give us this energy, that's what we want. That's what it sounded like a coach saying to me. Like, and I just think for Cam, that kind of coach who gives you that ability, that freedom, that's different than Bill Belichick, right? I'm not saying that Bill didn't give him
Belichick
that freedom.
Belichick seemed to love this dude.
I'm not saying, but it's just, it's different when a coach outwardly says that. As opposed to, and I'm not saying Bill Belichick held him back in any way or possible. I'm just saying that the demeanor of a coach saying, hey, that's your leash.
And let me tell you something. Just here's my prediction. It's going to take him, I think, a little longer than I would guess, Key, you're going to say. I think it's going to take half a dozen games for him to get back to where he was before he ever left. But where he was, you know, before he got hurt, rather, you know, his shoulder against the Steelers. But where he was operating at a very high level. And now the difference is this is a better team in terms of the weapons, offensive weapons he has. So Cam signing with the Panthers and not the Saints, right? Like we were saying Saints and Steelers. But let's focus on the Saints because they play in the same division. That could be the difference between the Panthers making the play. Now they could both make the playoffs, but they might be fighting for that seventh spot. So if only one of them makes the playoffs, maybe the Panthers get in and the Saints don't because of this.
Well, if you remember, the Panthers have already beaten the Saints, so they got one up on them based on the head-to-head. In terms of why the Saints wouldn't go after Cam, your guess is as good as mine. I guess they felt like they had Taysom Hill and they had Trevor Siemian, which quite honestly, Trevor Siemian is a guy who can't win the Saints games, but Sean Payton's not going to let him lose them. They have a very solid defense. Alvin Kamara did not play in the Tennessee Titan game. Michael Thomas, we already know about that story. So they don't have a whole lot of explosive playmakers on the offensive side of the ball for them, but they have a solid defense. They're going to be, in the end, hovering around the South division, no question about it. I don't know that Cam wanted to go to New Orleans. I don't know that. I don't know that they really looked at it and said he can give us an opportunity. We, on the outside, are trying to put him there because we're looking at Trevor Siemian
hey,
and saying,
you get into the playoffs.
Like, seriously?
Yeah.
I never thought Carolina for 1 minute, never even thought about it. Never thought about it for 1 minute that they would go back and revisit Cam Newton. But clearly, it was a financial decision for them to release him when they did, much like the Indianapolis Colts did with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was coming off a neck injury, $25 million due to him, and we hold the number one pick with Andrew Luck coming out. We got to part ways. And it's the same thing with Cam Newton. Cam Newton's due $20-plus million. He's got a Liz Frank injury on his foot. And it's like, well, we don't know where Teddy Bridgewater is available. Okay, you know what? We're not going to pay this guy this money because we don't know what it is.
But it is so interesting to me. But listen, by the way, this is what Belichick said, Jay Key, about Cam signing with the Panthers on WEEI's The Greg Hill Show yesterday.
I'm happy for him. That's what he said.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great when they signed him. Sounds like he had a great day yesterday. So always happy for Cam. Appreciate everything he did. He and here's the key to it. He was a wonderful guy to coach and be around.
Oh, Belichick, I thought you had sound. I didn't know you were going to read it.
No, no. Belichick has been saying that since the moment.
Of course.
But like to impress Bill Belichick with your leadership, competitiveness, work ethic, et cetera, and to have him still singing your praises, Belichick can say he's a good football player, da, da, da. He does not say that. He goes out of his way to heap praise on Cam Newton. Now, they didn't have any offensive weapons. That's why Tom Brady left. Yeah. Cam was coming off a catastrophic injury, learning a new system. This version of Cam should be three times the player he was in New England.
First off, isn't it funny that the tone of Bill Belichick sounds completely different than the tone of some of the rumblings that was coming around the Boston area about Cam?
Well, because you can't listen to those that don't know. Cam Newton is a very polarizing individual. It happens, man. When you don't succumb to others' views of you and how you supposed to, as they like to use the word, behave, all those sort of things, or act, and you do you, people form their own opinion of who you are. Bill Belichick never did that and never would. You got to remember, Bill Belichick coached Corey Dillon from the Cincinnati Bengals, who a lot of people thought was bizarre. How did that work out? Went and took him to a Super Bowl. He coached Randy Moss, who many people thought was bizarre. How did that work out? And so when you start to look at some of the players that Bill Belichick has coached that people would consider a problem, that's not the case.
Because Belichick, I'll go back again to the difference between the signal and the noise. Nate Silver, 538, had a book, The Signal and the Noise. There's a lot of static around, a lot of noise. How do you find the signal? What's important? All the kind of stuff that you call yeast or whatever that people put on, or all the static, the extra stuff. Belichick can see through that. What's important? Is he competitive? Does he work hard? Is he a leader? Can he make the plays I need him to make? But nothing else matters.
Also, they're not going to bring you into an environment that's safe and nice if you are problematic. But people, again, Max, they don't want to, you know, they just don't want to do it.
It takes work to see through what's important. That's Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So speaking of Belichick, he about to get his revenge on Brady? Oh, I'm keeping score, Belichick and Brady. No question.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Dr. Pepper, call in lines 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're asking who's going to go deeper into the playoffs, Patriots or Bucks, and there's a reason we're asking that.
I might have to fight Mac Jones for throwing that ball to me if I was Kendrick Bourne.
Man, why?
Why? That was a bad throw?
Man, that dude, oh, man, if the safety had any type of...
Double coverage.
Man, any type of play. If the safety was any good, he'd have knocked him out.
It's a nice ball, though. Key, you would go get that ball.
Oh, I'm going to go get it. But I'm saying, as an observer, it just looked like a headache shot waiting to happen.
Yeah. Like, the man in the arena, and by the way, the man in the arena, this is germane to the issue that we're about to discuss here. Because the man in the arena is a speech that Teddy Roosevelt gave overseas. And he talks about how it's not about the critic who never takes any chances. It's about the athlete. Win or lose, the guy who's covered in, you know, sweat and blood and all that and gave his all. That's who's important, not the person who points out, well, he didn't do it just right. I'm going to be that person in a second. But anyway, The Man in the Arena with Tom Brady launches today on ESPN+. You can listen to The Man in the Arena podcast, 10-part series exploring how sports has an impact on our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career. Brought to you by State Farm and available wherever you get your podcasts. The Man in the Arena is directed by Gotham Chopra, and he's going to join us at 9:30. So, speaking of Tom Brady and The Man in the Arena, that's right. Key, this is going to really get on Key's nerves. I am watching, and I'm keeping score. Brady Belichick, because the number one sports debate in the 21st century, which is already, we're into our third decade of the 21st century.
MJ versus LeBron.
MJ versus LeBron is the one. There are two great debates. MJ versus LeBron. Everyone knows it's MJ, except for misguided people like Jay or whoever.
Like me.
And two, the second debate is, was it more Brady or Belichick? And what's great about that one is, unlike MJ, LeBron, we are going to get some evidence. They won all these championships together. Now they're apart. Brady won the Super Bowl in his first year. Guys, he didn't make the playoffs, win a game, go on a run, get to the championship. He won the Super Bowl, and Belichick didn't make the playoffs. But now.
So that diminishes Belichick.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yes. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. There must be a winner and a loser. Unless the Lions tie the Steelers, then you get a tie. But otherwise, winner and a loser. Okay.
He really believes this. He really loves this.
I knew this would really bother Key. Listen to what Ryan Clark said about the Patriots and the Bucks, and this is about Belichick and Brady.
The Pats will go further than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When you watch this team play, Stephen A., There is no team that you look at in the AFC and you say, right now, I'm always going to take them over the Patriots. Right? You look at the Buffalo Bills. I think the Buffalo Bills, from a roster standpoint, are probably the best team in the AFC. The Tennessee Titans, as what we've seen on the grass, they are the best team right now. In a one-game, winner-take-all, with Bill Belichick on the sideline, I don't know if I can pick those teams over the New England Patriots. Well, I feel like there are teams in the NFC right now. You pick over Tampa Bay.
Well, Ryan's not far off. He's not far off at all. What he is off about, though, is talent-wise, the most talented team in the entire AFC is the Cleveland damn Browns. Buffalo Bills are a talented football team, but they're nowhere near as talented as the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns got a lot of issues, but in terms of the roster from front to back, they run pretty deep when healthy. Belichick, you know, this Belichick-Brady thing, here's what I always say. Brady left to go to a team that he can win immediately with. He was smart enough to realize that this roster, I couldn't wait another year. I can't wait. They were not willing to spend money in 2020 to boost it up. They spent money in 2021, but they were not willing in 2020. So he moved on. Therefore, they managed to put something together to win a few games, didn't make the playoffs. This year, they spent the money. It looked like they're going to probably contend for the division. But at the same time, Bill Belichick did discover Tom Brady when nobody else, including the New England Patriots, passed on him multiple times into the sixth round before they made a decision to finally draft him. So let's not act like Belichick doesn't have something to do with the way things are.
Both of them, no doubt.
Also, Bill Belichick went 11-5 with Matt Damn Castle.
Yeah, won 10 games, 11 that season.
Yeah, 10 games with Matt Castle, 11 that season, and they didn't make the playoffs, but he did win games with other quarterbacks.
I'd like to point something out, by the way, because I've made that point many times through the years. People have pointed this out to me. They were undefeated the previous season. So without Brady, they came way down. They were just so stacked that they were still pretty good.
They went undefeated and lost to the damn New York Giants in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so 18 wins.
Like, seriously.
But you go from 18 wins to 11 wins.
Can I say something real quick? Okay. I give Bill Belichick and the Pats a lot of credit, but it's one of those things that when you hear it, it sounds polarizing when Ryan Clark says it. But let's have a little exercise for 1 second, Max. Mm-hmm. If I were to take the Pats and exchange them with the Bucks, I were to put the Pats in the NFC and then put the Bucks in the AFC, would that comment still be true for the Pats?
No.
Yeah, because the NFC is loaded. You look at the NFC, you're saying, okay, the Rams, the Cardinals, the Bucks, the Packers, the Cowboys. When you're looking at the AFC, you're saying the Bills, the Titans. You guys don't believe in the Titans.
Chiefs, when they get it together.
Chiefs, if they get it, when they get it together.
If and when. Yep.
And then who else?
Yep.
Who else? So look at how loaded
Ravens,
the conference.
Ravens, if they get healthy, especially.
If they get another big if, yep. Right? So, I mean, that's a pretty big caveat, don't you think?
I do. I'll say this. This is the stuff that, like, Key wants to – you want to put, like, fire extinguisher on it, but it's so – how often in life when you have a debate
I'm
like
gonna
this –
I'm not going to use a fire extinguisher. I'm going to use the foam. It puts it out faster.
But how, yeah, exactly. Yeah, fire department. Look, how often in a debate like this, like one of the grizzled more Belichick or Brady, we'll never know. I'm
discourse.
Talking about do we actually have an experiment this good? Key, of course you're right. Brady stacked the deck in his favor when he goes to the Bucks, but it's one thing if you win a playoff game, if you get to the NFC championship, he won
So Bill Belichick would be the GOAT with the caveat that he's not as good.
Oh, this is what I'm saying.
Brady, that's what you're saying. Not the GOAT.
What I'm saying is Ryan Clark makes such a great point. Maybe you can't win the Super Bowl, you got a rookie quarterback, but one thing Belichick can do, get farther than Brady in the playoffs this year. Let people like Jay Williams make the point. Well, the AFC won as tough as the people are going to forget those details. What they'll remember is Brady won the Super Bowl. They'll forget all the other details. He won the Super Bowl. Belichick missed the playoffs. But year two, Belichick got farther than Brady. He doesn't win the Super Bowl,
you
just
really
gets
think people are
going
to remember that Belichick got – so if the Pats don't win the Super Bowl or don't get to the Super Bowl and say the Bucks get knocked down in the first round, people are going to remember, oh, Bill Belichick got further than Tom Brady.
That's a good point. Not exactly, but the sense of it will be over this year and next year, deep into next year – Brady hadn't proven that it was more him than Belichick. Belichick just got farther than him, by the way, with a team that Brady left the cupboard bare.
This is why he's good, Key. You see, he believes this.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
That's what
he should believe to get bleach and put it on his body, because it's disgusting that you would even want to sit up here and have a conversation about who is better and who did this and who
That's
did that.
Sports talk.
I know it's sports talk, but they're both. Both of these guys are responsible for what the Patriots did in their dynasty and all the things that they did. Both of them are responsible. Oh, because clearly, if you want to break it all the way down, I could just tell you the first three Super Bowls victories that the New England Patriots, it was all Belichick and not Brady. I mean, you could do it all type of ways.
No doubt.
If you want to discredit one versus the other.
No doubt. No, I'm not. It's not about, well, here, you'll like the man in the arena, okay? This is what Teddy Roosevelt said. The Sorbonne, I believe, right? It's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. That's what I do for a living. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms and great devotions? That's right. That's Tom Brady and also Bill Belichick. But the rest of us will sit on the sidelines, so to speak, and gauge where they are.
Hold on. Key and I have been in the damn arena, though.
Yeah, you have. But now that's true. You have. That's why I didn't say it applies to you.
I'm not engaging in this conversation much, because it is Lysol and bleach that needs to be added to this germ of Belichick and Brady.
You understand that people's interest in subjects like this is one of the reasons everyone's making money?
I get it, I understand it, but it's filthy.
I just don't know where the conversation goes. So if
Belichick goes and he wins, and Brady doesn't go this year and win, then what, are they tied?
Yeah.
We're going to have this conversation in 2022?
Oh, tied, yeah.
Oh, God.
Now we need to see next year. That's right. That's exactly right.
It probably wouldn't be a tie. Because then Belichick would have won with a rookie quarterback. And who's the last to win a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback?
Oh. Hold on. Because Bill would have rebuilt it, right? So the GM of Bill would have built the roster that the coach Bill would have won. So you give Bill the edge there. Because Brady went to a team that was ready-made. All they needed was a quarterback. And he won.
Don't let Dan Graziano joins us now. Don't let Bill Belichick win the Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback. That's going to be tough. All right, Dan, where are you? Does Belichick need to win a Super Bowl to catch up to Brady? Does he have
Dan,
to go farther
I'm
in the
right
playoffs?
Here in the studio. Where are you? I'm right here with you.
On this subject. Does he need to go farther in the playoffs than Belichick?
No.
Than Brady to catch up in the public debate?
No. I don't know about the public debate, because I feel like we frame that to a large extent. But no, I think Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are one of the great, if not the great, combinations in the history of sports, most successful tandems in the history of sports. And I don't think what happens following their 20 years together has any real effect on either one's legacy. It has some effect, right?
Obviously, he's saying explain it to me.
Him.
What Brady
Help
did
this guy.
In Tampa Bay obviously adds to his legacy. But it doesn't detract from Belichick's. And if Belichick wins this year, it adds to his. It doesn't detract from Brady's. I mean, Brady has messed this up for everyone, right? Like, you can't win the Super Bowl every year. And the fact that he's done it has applied too high a standard to the rest of the league. And as of last year, that includes his former coach. So I think what Belichick's done here so far, and again, Belichick's legacy is not just great Hall of Fame coach. It's great Hall of Fame roster builder. Belichick's legacy is that he found a way to defeat a system that is constructed to prevent exactly what he did, right? You're not supposed to win the Super Bowl six times in 20 years. You're not supposed to be able to build a dynasty in the salary cap era. So Belichick's legacy goes way beyond whether he ever wins a Super Bowl without Tom Brady or not. I just think I can use
your argument against you. Who's the greatest basketball player of all time in your opinion?
Michael Jordan.
All right. So, do you give the edge to Phil Jackson because Phil Jackson won with Kobe and Shaq?
No.
Oh, was same type of scenario.
Yeah, Jordan.
It's the same type of thing.
No,
Jordan
didn't,
because Jordan only won
good,
it with Phil Jackson.
Yeah, it's a pretty good analogy.
But then Phil
but
Jackson went on and won it after him, but you're not giving that credit to Phil Jackson, but you're going to do it with Brady and Belichick.
That's a very good analogy, but there are some differences. I believe coaching in football is more important than coaching in basketball. I think that players determine outcomes more in the NBA than they do in the NFL compared to coaches.
But we're talking about quarterbacks, and we're talking about Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. Number two, Michael Jordan. I don't want to get into a whole Jordan thing, but anytime you gave him at least one other All-Star, he basically always won the championship in under seven games. It's different. It's not like Phil Jackson went and did. He did great things without Jordan. He had a Jordan clone in Kobe and Shaq. It's a little bit different.
So, Dan.
So, Key.
I'm going to give him some warm bleach to put on his body and clean him up a little bit, you know, because he all germy right now. Matt Rhule decided to play Cam Newton. Were you surprised?
No, because when I talked to – I had their game the week before against the Patriots. Talking to Panthers coaches, the concern they had with P.J. Walker was that when he gets in close, his decision-making can be a little shaky. So when they put Cam in at the goal line, I'm thinking, well, this is perfect, right? Because not only is Cam's a difference-maker here on a level that few have ever been, so it made a lot of sense in that regard, and it worked great for him. Now, we'll see what happens in terms of them giving him more of the offense this week and getting him ready to start, which is obviously the plan based on what they're paying him. But, it was a pretty smart play, I thought, by the Panthers.
Are we ready to play hot news or not news?
Always.
Let's do it.
In a 24-hour news cycle, everything feels like news.
Yeah, it's not news at all.
Let's find out what's hot news or not news.
Key, will you tell me? Is this hot news or is not news?
You're so scary, you're going to throw it to me.
All right, Aaron Jones is out 1 to 2 weeks. Dan Graziano, hot news or not news?
Look, I think it's hot news because it obviously affects what the Packers want to and can do on offense. I mean, there's no question about it. That said, I think they can win a game or two if need be because, I mean, they have Dylan. They have other places they can go in the passing. Rodgers will be better going forward than he was Sunday after not practicing for 2 weeks. So I think it's hot news because the Packers have to account for it and they have to adjust for it. Tangentially to that, I think they can and will.
I don't think it's hot news. I understand the name, Aaron Jones, shock value there, but Dylan's a capable back to carry the load for 1 or 2 weeks. They got the best quarterback possibly in the National Football League right now in Aaron Rodgers. So 1 or 2 weeks without him, and it's not like Green Bay has always had or Aaron Rodgers has always had a running game to support him.
And Aaron Rodgers is going to get more reps. He'll find his rhythm offensively. Playing against the Vikings before they play against the Rams. Look, and that defense is getting better and better. I don't think it's news.
Yeah, I think it's not news. The interesting thing will be, in a 17-game season, are players who miss a game or two actually better off by the end of the season?
That is interesting.
Because they got like 1 or 2 weeks of less wear and tear. Steeler safety Minkah Fitzpatrick tests positive for COVID-19. Hot news or not news, Dan Graziano?
I think it's – who they got this week? They got a big one this week. They got a Sunday night game against
– I'm going to pull it up for you real quick.
Yeah, I think it's hot news because, I mean, the Steelers don't have margin for error. They just had – inability to beat the Lions is not going to help you get into the playoffs. And I know they didn't lose to them either, but
– Got the Chargers.
They got the Chargers.
That's a big
game. I mean, the Chargers are struggling a little bit, Justin Herbert, but – You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick's a big part of that defense, and I think it's hot news.
Yeah, it's hot news. They got the Chargers this weekend. We know what Justin Herbert and what they like to do with the trees on the perimeter, throwing the ball down the field. And Minkah Fitzpatrick is one of the top three defenders on Pittsburgh, if not one of the top two defenders on Pittsburgh's team. So it is hot news. He makes a lot of plays on the back end.
Hot news, T.J. Watt got banged up this past weekend, too. Big Ben is returning after COVID. A lot of things.
Maybe
returning. Yeah. Good point, Dan. So a lot of things in flux for this team right now.
Yeah, I would say hot news. People forget, but when I give Tomlin all the credit, he went 8-8 even without Roethlisberger. That season, to me, the turning point, they acquired Minkah Fitzpatrick. The defense got so much better, they were able to stay competitive without a quarterback, really. Dan Graziano giving the straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Chiefs winning 3 in a row, Dan. Hot news or not news? They're first in the AFC West.
Yeah, obviously it's hot news. I mean, they needed to get back on track. I'm not sure I'm on the hey, they're all the way back train from Sunday night. I think there were some matchup-related things with the Raiders' defense that worked in their favor, and I'm curious to see if they can continue to do what they did over the long haul, right? Like, if what we've been telling the Chiefs is take what's in front of you, take the shorter stuff, run the ball, et cetera, they did it for one game. Can they do it over the next couple of months? I'm interested to see whether they stick to that.
You know, it's hot news for those that believe that the Chiefs are coming back to the party like myself. I think they're going to win the division. I think the Chargers, along with the Broncos and Raiders, are going to surrender this division to Kansas City. Sometimes it's not as pretty as you want it to be, but in the end, the results are the way you need it.
I'll say hot news, but Dan, I have a question for you. How do you think Dallas's defense, considering the way they looked against Atlanta, will hold up against the way Patrick Mahomes is playing right now?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because they're going to have to really cover well on the back end because their pass rush is in bad shape, right? With Randy Gregory and DeMarcus Lawrence both out. So, yeah, it's going to be tricky. But, look, I mean, everyone's been playing too high safety. The Raiders didn't. Look what happened. The Eagles didn't. Look what happened to them. Like, there's a formula for trying to limit the Chiefs, and I think the Cowboys are smart enough to figure that out.
I think this is hot news because I was not impressed by the way the Chiefs played. I think they can play much better than that, and they just smashed the Raiders. And to me, with their B-minus game, if they break out their A-plus game eventually, it's going to be a problem in the AFC.
They feel like they've improved on defense the last couple weeks, but this Dallas will be a real serious test.
Spagnuolo defenses, I keep trying to tell people, they get better as the season wears on. Robert Saleh responding to Rex Ryan's criticism by saying, Rex, always got something to say, hot news or not news, Dan Graziano.
We really got to do this.
We got like 30 seconds.
I say not news. I mean, I don't know. The coach is pushing back on something that got said in the media. I think not news.
Hot news. You got two coaches going at it in the media. You like this. You're just a god, this guy right here. Hot news, though.
It's definitely
two former Jet coaches. One with success.
You got news on Saleh?
Oh, well. You know,
eventually everyone's a former coach, Dan.
Oh, wow. That just happened.
One former coach.
Is the Rams stubbornness their biggest issue? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.